Welcome to Prodigals, Pharisees, and Playmakers, a podcast designed to discuss theology, culture, and sports. Today's focus will be on sports and the moral compass. We hope this episode will serve as a bridge into how we plan to look at and talk about other ethical and moral and inspiring stories going on in the sports world and how they even affect how we look at the world through the lens of faith. Friday Night Lights are here. We've wrapped up our first week of college football Saturday in the South. The NFL season approaches and Major League Baseball's regular season looks to wrap up this month. So what better time to introduce this segment? We hope you'll enjoy the discussion. So this is a topic and a focus that came about in the oddest of ways. I believe it was around Christmas last year that I was talking with a family friend and about morality and ethics and values and how we think about those things within a context of sports. And there was a little bit of debate about that, some questioning. Now, I've always thought that sports provided not only an escape or an outlet from what's going on around us, but also a pathway and an on-ramp into the things going on around us. So I love sports, and probably at one point in my life, I love sports too much. I was that kid that would memorize the backs of baseball cards and football cards, and I could tell you what NBA player went to such and such college and when they got drafted and who coached them. So I was this nerd growing up and still am. I hope that I've learned how to enjoy sports correctly over the years. I can no longer tell you where every NBA player went to college, which, of course, a lot of them are foreigners. But I have a one-year-old and a three-year-old, so I don't have the time to dedicate to that. But I see so many parallels from team to leadership in the church or business world. So just parallels and concepts that deal with a particular sport or a particular coach or how a franchise or an organization is run, and see how many of those same principles apply, especially to the business world or whatever teams that we are leading, and even occasionally when you are leading teams in the church. I think one of the topics that we can wrestle with often is, does God care about sports? Now, we know that God loves Tim Tebow above all else, right? Just kidding. But so often we can tell our kids to be a good sport, work hard, be a good teammate, show some sportsmanship. But often in how we watch sports, we teach them by example the exact opposite. And so we're sitting around and we're discussing the recent hire of Liberty's head football coach, Hugh Freeze. Now, I am a Liberty alum. In fact, I worked for Liberty University football in 2008 and 2009, and really followed them and was became good friends with some who were on the football team. And as we were discussing the recent hire of Hugh Freeze, which of course was controversial, Hugh Freeze, there were some allegations made against him. In fact, he had to step down. I can't remember if he got fired or if he resigned, and I'm sure someone can correct me. But there were phone calls that were made to call girls and prostitution rings. There were some connections, and he was using the university football office phone. There were some other recruiting violations and some other financial violations that were going on. So just all of this stuff is going on in Hugh Freeze's life, and Liberty decides to hire them. And I'm talking to my friend, And I'm bringing this up, you know, with some, like, I don't know if I like this. Liberty University is known to be a Christian university, really the flagship Christian university here in the States. And their motto since 1971 has been training champions for Christ. And I'm a proud alum. I got a good, solid biblical foundation at Liberty University. Enjoyed the majority of my time there. And my friend goes on to say, I don't watch sports for reasons of morality. So I think it's a good hire. Now, make no mistake, Hugh Freeze can coach. Great football coach. But that sent a trigger to my brain when he had said, I don't watch sports for morality reasons. And I began to think, oh, okay, can you name the Chancellor of Alabama? No. Unless you're an Alabama fan, most of us cannot. But can you name their head football coach? Yes, absolutely. Nick Saban. For my Tennessee fans, can you name the Chancellor of Tennessee? Some can't because I've asked that specifically. They cannot. But they can name the head football coach because some of them wanted to fire him after this past Saturday. Can you name the Chancellor of Duke? No. Most of us can't, but we can name their head basketball coach. Coach K. We can't spell his last name, but we can certainly, we can abbreviate, oh, it's Coach K. So my reasoning was football or basketball coaches in some universities, they are the biggest face of that university. And oftentimes with the biggest face and the most immediately recognizable names and faces, along with that comes the biggest payrolls. Now, one thing that I can always say about Liberty University, they've always been about grace. They've always been about second chances and third chances even. And so if I'm thinking of Hugh Freeze, you know, offensive coordinator, maybe. I could see that. And I think that they could get by with that without such a backlash from the community and the fan base and the alum from Liberty. But head coach? So I begin to ask myself, well, what is it that we're trying to establish here? And this, does this not diminish the culture of training champions for Christ when we are flagship Christian university putting this man who was connected to call girls and prostitution, we're putting him as the most recognizable face over our university, over our educational institution? I believe that it would diminish the culture a little bit. And we could say grace all day. Praise God for grace. But is this the card we want to pull out? Now, this same person that I am having this conversation with, along in the conversation, said that they no longer pull for the Carolina Panthers. And so, inquisitively, I ask why. And they said it was because of Eric Reed. Now, many of you may know or may not know, Eric Reed was the one who kneeled with Colin Kaepernick during the anthem. So it was a kneeling protest, and he kneels with Colin Kaepernick. And I brought that back up. I said, well, so you no longer pull for the Carolina Panthers because they signed Eric Reed. He said, well, that's right. I have to pull for a new team. But you just said that you don't watch sports for reasons of morality. And again, it sent a signal to my brain that let me know that there is a tension in how we think about sports and the issue of ethics and morality. Now, I'm not going to get into the Colin Kaepernick saga. I'm not going to go into thoughts and opinions. I can't say that I love Tom Brady, so obviously I'm an American patriot. So would I kneel? Absolutely not, but he did. But the question that I do ask is, would we have gotten as mad if he kneeled over another issue like abortion? What if it was an issue that we were passionate about? Because certainly there are others who are passionate about this same kind of issue. So let's say I'm passionate about abortion. I want to see an end to it. And our government is allowing it to happen. Our government has laws in place that make it accessible. So whether that's state government or just national government, what about if I'm passionate about sex trafficking and that our government's not doing enough to crack those cases, or our government's role in the drug epidemic? Now, we're probably not getting as mad if it's an issue that we are passionate about. Now, we all have values. We all have an ethical framework for how we think about sports or players, athletes, or teams, and it's why we get so crushed. So anytime that Dabo Swinney sneezes, some of you are going to share it on Facebook. Man, when he sneezes, he gives praise to Jesus. And by the way, I've heard Dabo speak. What a great, great man. Enjoyed listening to him speak. But we share those things and we get excited about it because of his values. Because we feel like we know the kind of person that he is. But what happens if he got caught paying players or cheating on his wife? Now, we would be crushed. And we are so ruthless. We are so passionate. But we're often hypocritical about it. Sports is like life. We're going to find some hypocrisy in certain areas, whether we align with it or don't align with it. And there's good reason to change our mind about some things. I think of a sport like baseball, and I remember the home run race, which was, in fact, the Sosa-McGuire race for the home run record. I mean, wasn't that fun for everybody? It essentially kickstarted the nation's interest in baseball again. And now this whole nation is watching, and then the PEDs and the steroids come out, and later you have guys like Bonds and Rafael Palmeiro, and I would say that baseball has paid the price for that. So keeping them out of the Hall of Fame would be embarrassing, as much as they did for the sport. But I guess letting them in would be even more so embarrassing. And so some people would say, well, let him in. Some would say, absolutely not, they cheated. And what I find is that a lot of the people who wouldn't want a Sosa or McGuire or Bonds or Roger Clemens in the Hall of Fame usually want Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame. Why is that? Why do they want Pete Rose, who was a gambler, who broke the rules of baseball at the time? I mean, every allegation against him, by him, has been denied. But certainly there's been proof, there's been validation that there was gambling. And then he would say, well, I didn't gamble on, you know, games that I played in or managed. I bet on the other ones. Either way, I think one of the reasons that Pete Rose, who's one of the most decorated players of all time, he was before my time, but I've seen clips and I've seen the stats. Again, I was a baseball stat nerd, so I have seen them. They are incredible. But which is worse? Why want Pete Rose in, but not the others? So I think this goes back to how we think about culture and how we think about the world, but even more so, what our values are. And as the people of God, as followers of Jesus, how we think about things with grace, but also how we think about things ethically. Ethically. Why one, but not the other? Now, baseball has always been known for cheating of some kind. I mean, whether it's a spitball or putting pine tar on our bats or putting a pitcher putting some type of lubricant or some type of sticky substance on their hat or somewhere on the bottom of their cleat, sign stealing. They've been stealing signs for years. You know, back in the 50s and 60s, when Mickey Mantle was playing, they had what they call greenies. So baseball is always, historically, it's just entrenched in the sport. How to cheat. How to get an advantage. Now, I love baseball, but that's just the track record. And so what does this process look like as we go from one issue to the next? And why do we line up like that? I think it's because we have a value system. Intrinsically, it is wired within us. We're more passionate about certain issues than others. But there's a simple but yet sometimes complex value system, an ethical system that comes out in the tension of watching humans succeed and fail and struggle and achieve greatness. We're all flawed. We are all human. As Romans says, we have all fallen short of the glory of God. And so maybe we can watch with a little bit more grace. Yet at the same time, I believe we're hardwired to track with guys who are coaches and athletes that we see character exemplified, integrity exemplified, honesty modeled for us. Thank you for tuning in. Sports is a public mirror to much of our culture, and our theology should speak into how we view culture. So this is an intro to how we will discuss issues going forward, and hopefully a framework that will provide encouragement and guidance into our own spiritual discipleship as we watch sports, hear interviews, etc. Here's the big takeaway. Peel away all the layers, and we cannot divorce morality and ethics and those systemic values from sports any more than we can divorce morality and ethics from politics or our workplace, our family life, and how we raise kids. I think the intensity may be different, but if you watch for escape, you might not be as invested. So moral and ethical situations can sometimes stand out to us a little bit more, but you still watch because it's a fun game. A hardcore and passionate fan will probably be biased, and I am fully admitting that there may be times where I am totally biased. But I contend one of the reasons we care about sports and why we care about what athletes do and what coaches do is because there's an element of inspirational and motivating ethics and morality and values that we cannot avoid or ignore. So issues, internal issues like hard work, dedication, sacrifice, courage, our mental awareness, skill, leadership, all of those things are at play, and we can enjoy those internal issues. But there are other more external issues strategy, money, which may include contracts or salary caps, firing, hiring, free agency. Those things at the root are areas that the Bible is just not silent on. I think of the Apostle Paul, who says, everything that we do, do for the glory of God. Whether you eat or whether you drink, and I will add my parentheses, or playing or enjoying sports, do it to the glory of God. God made all things. He made things for us to enjoy. And I think about Andrew Fuller, who was commenting on God's good gifts of activities and work in the world. He made the statement, he said, man was not made to be idle. All things are full of labor. It is a stupid notion that happiness consists in slothful ease or in having nothing to do. In other words, our activity of shaping the world that God created out of nothing into things that are useful is necessary to glorify God. But there are some things and some parts of our work where we are cultivating things that are not functionally necessary, but they still produce a sense of wonder and delight. And that's also foundational to how we reflect God's creative glory in the world. You think of things like dance or music, the performing arts, and sports are a competitive manifestation of that, are they not? And so, in other words, rightly ordered competition is a means of considering one another and spurring one another on to glorify God. So some of the things that we're going to tackle and that we're going to wrestle with through the sports segments of this podcast, questions like, are sports a distraction and a waste of time for Christians? Is competition biblically justifiable? Can sports be a way to worship and serve God? We're going to look at fandom and the obsession, but also the healthy cultural rootedness that we have. You know, you think about, especially in the South, I grew up in North Carolina, in the state of North Carolina, and you were either a Carolina Tar Heel fan, Duke Blue Devils, NC State Wolfpack, and you had your occasional crazy step cousin who was a Wake Forest fan, but that was a cultural identity. The same is true when you think about SEC football, college football. That is a cultural thing that we just cannot ignore, and we can leverage those relationships and leverage those games for the glory of God. You also think about the issue of sports and spiritual warfare. If you have ever watched a game or ever listened to a coach or an athlete, you hear a lot of military-like language. And I think of the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul was fond of both military and athletic metaphors for Christian living. It's all through his letters to the churches. Another question, in what ways do sports provide a helpful metaphor for the Christian life? And I believe that they do. I believe that they can guide us in certain areas. We'll look at issues like self-esteem. We see the contemporary trend toward not keeping score under the belief that everybody is always a winner. Everybody gets a trophy, that mentality. Does that actually work against what makes sports a valuable biblical metaphor and tool and resource for cultivating Christian character and a Christian virtue and Christian discipline? I also think about ways that the relationship between sports and the church manifests themselves. I think that there are lessons that are helpful and applicable to our lives as accountable members of local churches. And if you ask the majority of your teams and franchises that you pull for, you would see talk of commitment, dedication, sacrifice, and accountability. And the local church is that. It is a commitment to one another. It is bearing one another's burdens. Every player has a role, and every member of God's local church has a role. We all have a part to play. And so these are some of the issues that we hope to tackle, that we hope will be fruitful, and prayerfully that they will help guide us as we think about the nature of God and how He's created us. So again, I'm your host, Dustin Allman, and I hope that you will join us again very soon. Thank you so much for joining us on today's episode. We would love to extend an invitation for you to share with friends what we're doing and the things that we want to be discussing. If you have questions, feel free to check us out on Facebook at Prodigals, Pharisees, and Playmakers. Feel free to drop a line and send a message if you have a question or you just appreciate our content. Like our page, as well as share if you like the discussion. We look forward to some livelier discussion in future episodes as our friend and comrade Wade comes back from his honeymoon. You can find us on other podcasts such as Google Podcasts, Spotify, Radio Public, Breaker, Overcast, and Pocket Casts. Again, it is Prodigals, Pharisees, and Playmakers. We look forward to having you join us on the next episode. God bless.